You're listening to World Oil's Deep Dive, where you'll get to know the authors of technical articles in World Oil magazine and learn more about their company's technology and how it's shaping our industry. Now, here's your host, Jim Watkins.
All right, we're here today with Heather Byers talking about her article, Test Program Yields Shale Optimized Casing Connections, in the September 2018 issue of World Oil. Heather, thanks for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Great. Hey, before we get in the article, let's talk a little bit about your background and how you came to Vallourec and you know, the positions you've had inside Vallourec and
Yeah, sure. I actually came to Vallourec right after college. Right out of college, I got my engineering degree, and Vallourec and I found each other. They wanted a young engineer that they could train on their products and kind of grow with them, and that's exactly what I've done. They've been good to me. I started out in a quality role. I was working on claims for our import products. We import a lot of pipe from Germany, Brazil, France, and I was working on any quality issues that we had come up with that. After a few years there and learning about the quality side, I actually went into our R&D lab at VAM-USA. So I was a project manager over connection testing in the laboratory. So I was doing connection validation and connection qualification and running these tests that we're going to talk about today on these connections. So I've been in there actually. Some of the pictures in the article are ones that I went in and took myself just because I was wandering around the lab. So really familiar with the lab, had a lot of experience there, great experience. And then for the last 3 years, I've been back at Vallourec at our corporate location, and I'm a technical sales engineer. So still working with the products on a technical level, but assisting our commercial team with promotion of our products, questions that our customers have. I have certain accounts that I handle in certain regions that I go visit to make sure that we're covering these markets well and that they always have a technical focal point.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Well, let's get in the article then. We were talking a little bit beforehand, and you've written articles and you've done other things like this before, but I think this is really interesting. I mean, even for me, I'm just a marketing guy, right? But the history of the qualifications, you know, and that type of thing, and how that went back and forth, and so that's basically where the article starts. And I mark this as very interesting that in the olden days, back in 2002, right, that each manufacturer, at times in partnership with an operator, developed their own testing procedures. Is that what we've gone back to now, basically?
Well, before there was a standard test protocol that there is now, each manufacturer of connections found their own way to validate their connections, whether that be just computer analysis, finite element analysis, or if it's physical testing. But because they were all not standardized, each manufacturer did its own testing and decided, okay, that's good enough for use in the industry, and you just had to kind of take that for what it was. Operators didn't always like that. They wanted to prove, especially major operators, wanted to prove that these connections were suitable for their wells. So they would work with those manufacturers and develop their own personalized testing programs. And it still happens today. It still happens today, even with the standardized protocols that we have. You still have those major operators that come in and say, okay, that's good, but I want to add more to it because I need to see if it can withstand this, or I need to do this. So it's still a common practice in the industry today, but it's a little bit more standardized, and everybody's picking from the same pool now instead of just saying, well, it's my connection and I say it's good, and this is the, you know, and you don't really have any proof of how it was tested.
Right. So. And the standards help with that, right?
Correct.
I mean, because that's like the baseline, basically, and then everybody can go up from there depending
sure.
on what they need.
Yeah, right? So at least you have, you know, one common like kind of ground rule for it. Everybody has to pass certain tests, and then operators might choose other more severe type of tests to add on to it, but at least there's a baseline that says when you say it's tested to this, everybody that says it's tested this has to do certain things.
Right, exactly. And so you said in the article that in 2017 the API released a version of the 5C5, but it wasn't in collaboration with the ISO 13679. Mm-hmm. Why did they separate?
Well, API and ISO have had a complicated past. API was the first one to develop a connection testing program. And they developed for, obviously, you know, API is the American Petroleum Institute. Mm-hmm. But global operators got a hold of it and said, no, we need this to apply to all areas of the globe, all areas where oil and gas connections are used. So ISO took a hold of it and almost kind of slapped their own cover page on it, but it was still the old API protocol. They tried to do a couple updates from 2002. I mean, it needs it. Industry expands, technology grows, you need updates to it. And they tried in 2009 and I think 2011 to put an update out. Never got past the draft stage, wasn't going anywhere. Some of the operators and manufacturers were using those drafts, but they weren't official. So finally API decided, you know what, we've got to get another draft out. It's due for an update. We really need to get one out. There was also some political dealings between API and ISO, API with the US political differences on some of the countries, didn't want their version going global or didn't want to cooperate with some of the countries that we have political conflicts with. So they just decided to make their own new draft in 2017, and it's only API. We kind of expect ISO to slap another cover page on it and release it again, but currently it's just the API right now. And this is my understanding of it. Please don't take this as, you know,
the gospel.
That's not the gospel. But it seems to be a little messy, a little political, a little bit of conflicts there. But right now, the latest one is API 5C5. We'll see what ISO comes up with later.
Oh yeah, okay, that's interesting. So right now, the API standard is the most current, the most modern standard.
Yep, latest and greatest. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Okay, and then you go on to talk in the article on page 30 about your own connection testing program and the factors that you wanted to test for, and that there's five steps in the program. So let's go through those real quick. The first one you mentioned is the reliable makeup.
Yeah.
All right. And so maybe you can contrast for us, I don't know, hopefully you can, about the difference between what you guys are doing here and the API standard.
Well, I think to preface that, the connection testing protocols that were in place before API and ISO, they were geared more toward deep water, high pressure, high temperature gas situation. So they were really geared toward like Gulf of Mexico or North Sea type environments that you're gonna encounter. And those are critical environments, but shale is a very, very different than that. You know, it might not be as high temperature and it might not be as high pressure, but it has its own unique difficulties and challenges that operators are gonna face. You know, you need higher torque, you're rotating to get to bottom, you're going through severe dog legs. All of those things are critical environments for casing and its connections that aren't really addressed with the Gulf of Mexico type environments. So we thought that by taking the current standards that are in the current protocols that are in place, but modifying them to simulate those onshore and shale type scenarios that we face onshore, we thought that we could better address the needs of our customers and better qualify our connections for those type of environments. So that's what we did. And we were the first ones to develop this connection testing protocol that's specific to shale. And we think it does a really, really great job of making sure these connections are good for the shale environment. Most specifically, fatigue. That's something that the current protocols don't take into account, is really fatigue. And connections in shale are fatigued very, very greatly. So really, everything that we've done here is to simulate something that's onshore that the current protocols lack. So when we're talking about reliable makeup, we want to make sure that the connections can do multiple make and breaks, you know. In reality, VAM connections make up on the first try 99% of the time, no issues. But a lot of times, you know, you're going to get stuck and you're going to need to pull a string and you're going to need to back it out and push it back in. And we want to make sure that our connections are capable of being run in, pulled back out, unscrewed, screwed back in without galling, without damaging the connection. So they need to be, you know, tough and rugged and able to withstand that. So that's what we do here, is we're making sure that we're using, sorry, we're making sure that we're using the most severe sample, and it has the worst tolerances for galling and damage during makeup. So we're using high interferences with the seal and the threads to induce galling almost. We want to see, like, can we push this connection to its max and still it withstands galling? So that's what we're using. We're choosing samples that have the worst dimensions for galling, and then we're making them up and breaking them out multiple times at high torque levels with less dope. So, you know, we're just using the worst case scenario, right, in that situation.
Yeah, which is what you want, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you want to prove that, hey, this is actually going to perform as needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second step is the rotation while running or cementing.
Yeah, so I think with the shale environment, there's three things that connections can be fatigued by in a shale environment. So that's first, rotating to bottom. So they're rotating the casing to get through those high dog legs and messy holes or, you know, things like that. So they're rotating these connections. They're oscillating downhole. That's a lot of fatigue on the connections. They don't stop rotating there. A lot of operators, they want to rotate while they're cementing. So the string's in place, but now they're pumping cement down there and rotating it as well. So now it's got more fatigue during rotation. A lot of operators think that rotating while cementing gets a better cement job, more circumferential around the annulus. And then we also have fatigue during the frac cycles, and that's like the third step, so we can talk about it then. But to simulate the rotation while running and the rotation while cementing and through the bend, we put, and this is something that's completely not in ISO or API, this is a completely added step. It's not something we modified like make and breaks or pressure testing. This is something we added. And we use a resonant fatigue apparatus, and we have the connection in the middle of it, and we oscillate it almost like a jump rope. So you see this big piece of pipe with a connection, almost doing a jump rope in this machine. And we can do it, we can apply a certain stress level to that kind of simulates what type of bend you're in. Mm-hmm. And then we can also do cycles. So those cycles simulate, you know, the multiple rotations and the multiple spins that it's gonna do downhole.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's in figure two there, right?
Yep.
Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty complex. It's done usually in a pit, and it's done over days and days to get to that many cycles. So we think it does a really, really great job. And one thing to really notice is as we talk and go through this, every test that I'm talking about is happening to one sample. We're not doing the make and breaks on one sample, and then we get a brand new piece to do the fatigue testing. One sample goes through this whole step. So now, the next step, it's already going to be fatigued, and that material is already going to be weakened in stress, and it still has to prove its next step. So I think that's something to really take into account, and that's something that operators should be asking any manufacturer that's doing testing. Make sure that you're using worst-case scenarios, because you're not going to run a string of pipe downhole, rotate it, fatigue it, and then pull it out and then pressure test it.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Or then pressure it
up. Exactly, yeah.
So you really need to make sure that all of this is happening to one sample and it can withstand all of those stages.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's a key point too, right? Yep. And so the third step, the thread compound degradation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this step is really just to simulate thread compound degradation under heat in the hole. So a lot of times operators will run their string, you know, and then leave it for a little while and then go back and frack it. So the frack isn't happening right after they complete the casing run. So it's sitting down there in high temperatures, and it's a grease, it's a liquid, high temperatures, it's going to start changing its qualities after a while. So we wanted to, we call it bake out. We put it under high temperature over, you know, a couple days to simulate that thread degradation. It also takes out any bubbles that could come up in it. I mean, when a grease starts to heat up, sometimes it releases gases and they can bubble, and then you can get false leak detection during your pressure tests that come after. So it's kind of a twofold, but we think that it degrades the compound enough to where the connection is really relying on its sealing mechanisms, not thread compound in the thread form that's helping
right,
it seal.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So we make sure we're testing the connection, not it being aided by the thread compound.
Wow. And then the next phase is the pressure testing, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, first is stimulation.
Stimulation, yeah.
Yeah, so it is a type of pressure test, but it's not looking for the integrity of pressure sealability. It's actually a further step to fatigue the connection. So this is that third step of fatigue. This is where we start looking at multiple frack stages. So operators are sitting there and they plug a part of the lateral, pressure it up to do that intense frack to perforate they do the perforation, and then they sit there and pressure it up frack the formation. And this is happening over multiple times. Sometimes 50 stages are used. So your casing string and the connections are seeing high pressure 50 times in a row, which is another form of fatigue. That material is being loaded and unloaded, loaded and unloaded. So this is what this step is doing. So we take it up with a hydraulic pressure test, and we take it up to its max pressure capabilities, hold it, and then release it. Do it again, hold it, and release it. So it's really simulating that high pressure load and cycling that the connection would experience during shale fracking.
That's interesting because then, I mean, on almost all of these things, some of it has to do with design, but a lot of it has to do with metallurgy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and, you know, can the metal withstand that expansion and contraction?
Yeah, all of this fatigue is work hardening the material and stressing the material. So as you start loading or bending or doing anything to steel, as you start applying these loads and fatiguing it, your material starts hardening, it starts losing its elasticity, the grain structure changes, so you're really risking the material, and we make sure that the connection has enough reduction in stresses in its design to be able to handle that to where it doesn't negatively affect it. That's what we're testing here.
No, that's impressive. That's a lot of testing.
Mm-hmm.
That is. And still one more phase, the actual production phase,
correct.
Right?
So this is what's more similar to the API and the ISO testing protocols. Is they are all about the pressure testing, and that's going back to Gulf of Mexico, high pressure, really volatile formations and things like that. So this is going full circle. What we wanted to do was fatigue the sample, because that's what happens in shale, and then we need to make sure that it can still withstand the normal pressure testing. So that at that point, you know, so the good contrast here is the stimulation phase was done with water, because most of the fracking done in shale is hydraulic fracturing. When we go to the pressure testing phase, we do it with gas because we're usually producing gas. So we wanted to make sure that it can withstand the hydraulic pressure phase of stimulation, but then still hold a gas-tight seal after that. So then we do the pressure testing with gas.
And so it's gone through all of those phases. That same sample's gone through all of those phases. So by the time you get up to the production testing, you have a really good idea because, I mean, ostensibly you've let the same dope and things on the joints through all of that testing, right? And so then in the end, you know if it's going to hold or not, basically.
Well, that's actually the most critical part is we've fatigued it and now it has to do what it was designed to do.
Right.
You know, so the whole point of these gas-tight connections is this metal-to-metal seal holding gas sealability. But we've just put it through so much fatigue, so much stress, so much work hardening that now we're hoping that our design has enough reductions and enough safety factors in it that it can still hold that metal to metal seal after all of that fatigue. So, and then the pressure testing, the gas pressure testing, is not just pressuring it up with gas, it's pulling it in tension and compression while holding gas. It's internal pressure as well as external pressure to make sure that it can withstand the pressures from the formation as well as internal pressures from actually producing the gas. So, and that's all under, we call it combined load testing. So it's pulling it in tension while pressuring it up and pushing it in compression while pressuring it up. We also bend it because we need to make sure that still those connections that are within the dog leg under a bending load can still hold that gas pressure too. So it's a long cycle of testing that goes from tension, compression, internal pressure, external pressure, bending. We can do this at high temperatures or at ambient temperatures. So
That's impressive.
It's a lot of testing.
I don't know. I read through the article. Where is this testing facility?
So Vallourec has three connection testing facilities worldwide. We have one in Japan, one in France, and then one in Houston. The one in Houston is at our VAM-USA facility on the north side of Houston. It is actually the largest connection testing facility of all manufacturers in the world. So it has up to 6 load frames. We just expanded it back in 2010.
Wow.
We have 3 vertical makeup simulators, vertical tongs. We have horizontal tongs. We do everything from creating the actual connection on the lathes and actually machining them through in-finish, makeup. We can do all of this testing that I've described here from beginning to end at that facility.
So is that when the testing's on, these are still like in a prototype phase, right? They've been designed somewhere on a computer or something, and then the metallurgy's been worked out, and then they'll make prototypes and run them through all this.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And so I imagine you're always working on new connections and bigger and better things, so the testing facility operates all year long. It's all the time.
It's fully booked all year long. We run out of capacity quite often. We have a huge backlog. So it's a mixture of new developments. So we have teams that are working on new developments of connections. We have teams that are working on further validation, expanding product lines, expanding new sizes of existing product lines.
Oh, interesting.
And then we also have qualifications for certain operators. Some operators, you know, the way we develop a product line of a connection is pick out the critical sizes and say we need to test this size, this size, this size. These are the critical ones. And then we use some assumption and some FEA for all of the sizes in between. We don't test every single connection
right.
size and weight and grade. But an operator sometimes wants to come in and say, well, I want to use this particular one. You haven't done exactly physical testing on it, so we need to do that on that. And so those are projects that we're working on with operators to validate that particular size. But it's just not possible to test every single size. If you do a full Cal-4 level test on one size, that's one OD, one weight, one wall thickness, and one grade, it can take up to 2 years and over $1 million.
2 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's just not feasible to test every single size, but our FEA approach and our product line approach really does take the most severe samples, the worst cases, and make sure those fit, and then the ones that aren't so severe, we use some judgment and use some FEA to know that they will be fine.
Right, and so then after all this testing, I mean, you have a pretty good idea what works and what doesn't. So you came up with a new line of connections, the VAM-SGs?
Yeah, so like we talked about before, this testing program was specifically developed for shale simulations and shale environments. So we were able to, because of this testing program, we were able to validate a few new designs that are specific to the shale environment. So we have two integral connections, VAM-SG and VAM-EDGE-SF. And integral means they don't have a coupling. So it's a very close to the size of the pipe body. You don't have to give up a lot of space in your wellbore for an extra coupling. So these are very close to the same size as the pipe body. And that's important when you start, you know, going through the dog leg. Couplings don't, you know, always have a lot of room to go through dog legs. So operators do like integral connections. So that's the VAM-SG connection and the VAM-EDGE-SF connection. The VAM-EDGE-SF is our high torque line. So that's extremely high torque. When you're dealing with operators going 2, 2.5 mile laterals now, you need the torque to get to bottom. So we have that option. It was also used for our DWC product line, which is an extremely popular product line that we've had for a long time. It used to be for drilling with casing. It's not really done these days, but this connection has proved extremely versatile and extremely robust within the shale gas environment. So we went back and retested it to this program to make sure that it was good for the shale environment.
And so are these connections available now? I mean, people are using them.
Yep, full product line. We have multiple sizes. So the VAM SG is really just available in 4.5 through 5.5. Those are the typical production casing sizes. VAM Edge SF has a little bit wider, still 4.5 to 5.5, but the DWC is a huge product line. We have sizes all the way from tubing sizes all the way up. So.
Oh, wow.
Yep. That's and then we also have threaded and coupled connections, but our threaded and coupled connections are VAM 21 and VAM 21 HT. Mm-hmm. VAM 21 HT has been the workhorse of the shale environment, but it was originally developed for offshore. So it was actually already tested to 2011 Cal-4 protocol, which is this extremely robust, very, very high intensity testing program. So it already has extremely high levels of testing already, but we found it to be a really great connection onshore. It's got high torque, it's really robust, it's great for makeup, it's user friendly. So those are the four connections that we use mostly onshore.
And so why would somebody choose an SG over a 21 or something like that?
It's really due to the integral, the fact that it doesn't have a coupling. Right. So if you can get away with a coupling, you always should have the coupling because you can get a lot more out of your connection. You can get 100% pipe body ratings with the VAM-21HT, but it has a coupling on it. So it's a little wider than all the others. So if you have quite a severe dog leg or your string design has left you with a smaller annulus, you know, you're going to need an integral option. And that's why we have those.
Excellent. Well, that is amazing coverage. And I mean, I don't know, you know, I mean, I just don't know about these things and what type of testing goes on at other companies, but it's obvious that you guys are very thorough and you put together an amazing new set of couplings that people should check out. I mean, and that's part of what you do, right? When you're talking with an operator, you say, okay, you know, what does it look like down there? And,
yeah.
And let's get you the right, let's get you the right connection for the hole, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we think that this program or this testing program proves that our connections are suitable for shale gas. And the big thing is the fatigue. There's no other testing protocol, even within all of the ISO and API, that fatigues a connection like we do here. And that's really important in shale. And if your connection can't withstand that fatigue, the rated pressures that it might have passed before don't really apply once you've stressed the material.
Right.
So I think that operators should be looking at programs that can prove that their connection can withstand all the fatigue that they're going to put it through.
And that's the big takeaway, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to fatigue them to make sure that they're actually going to work.
I correct.
Mean,
that's and I think that we're the only ones doing this right now. So
excellent. Yeah. Well, congratulations. And
thanks
for being here with us today and talking about your article in the September issue of World Oil.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Take a look at today's show notes for links we mentioned in the podcast. We enjoy your feedback, so if you have any questions or comments, email them to deepdive@worldoil.com. Check out worldoil.com for the best oil and gas industry technical articles and news. And join us next time for another Deep Dive with World Oil.